welcome to another episode of Tell Me More. We're in the studio, just me, Katie Reed Hodges, and our pastor, Dr. Dennis R. Wiles. Luke is out today. We're talking about the Exodus, about Moses' mistakes and his way, going his way, versus God's way, and how much better it is to choose God's way. And so it's enjoyable, and we're glad you're here. Enjoy the listen. Welcome to this episode of Tell Me More. We're missing our third party.
We are.
We're missing him. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. Luke is out today, and in fact, today is Wednesday.
Yeah, we're a little late this week.
We're a little late this week. We had a golf tournament on Monday.
We so did.
To raise money for a very worthy cause.
That's right.
Drum roll.
Restore Hope.
Absolutely.
It was so fun. Beautiful day.
It was a great day to be outside. Yeah. It was overcast, which was a nice gift.
Yes, it was. Great golf course. We had fun.
I golfed an all-girls team.
You did. Y'all were the only.
In fact, the all-girls team.
You were the only one that was all women. We had other women golfers, but
yes,
not an entire team of women golfers like
yes,
you guys.
Which I determined is actually not all that advantageous. If you have a woman on your team, it can be really helpful. Because when I've golfed on the men's team, sometimes the ladies' tees are so far up.
Mm-hmm.
Like you bypass all the water hazard and everything.
Yeah, hit a good drive. We play it.
So I've been very beneficial on men's teams. When you get all four girls, it's like.
I would say you're beneficial in any setting.
Oh, thank you.
That is what
Have
I
you
would
seen
say.
Me golf?
I don't care what it is. I feel really good about Katie.
Yeah, it was fun though. I kind of put together my dream team. Yeah. Ashley Berryhill, Chelsea Judkins, Christine Morley. I mean, we had a great time.
Yeah. Well, I played with a longtime friend of mine from Dallas, and actually two friends of mine, and one of them's sons, and we had a great, great time. It was awesome.
A lot of fun.
Well,
good.
Hit a handful of good golf shots.
Okay.
Handful of. Not so good, but it's all good. You know, good news, I don't do it for a living. I'm not Scotty.
You're not Scotty.
But how about Scotty?
Nobody's Scotty.
Come on, how about Scotty?
You proud of him?
Oh, love him, man. Did you see his press conference where he...
I did not.
Yeah, they talked about his game.
I did not watch the press conference? I did not watch the press conference.
I have it on my phone if y'all want to watch it. Let's do this instead.
Let's just go ahead and do this. So.
Yeah, he did a great job just sharing who he is and his identity is in Christ. And he said, you know... My buddies and I were talking, and even if I don't win the Masters, I want to win the Masters, but even if I don't, he said, the victory's already been won for me with Jesus on the cross.
And you can tell
the sportscasters, they just don't know what to do with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not routine for them,
so,
right?
I love him.
Well,
go, Team Scotty.
Ryan enjoyed watching it. My dad almost spoiled it because I was talking to my dad, and he just told me who won.
But. Oh, y'all were delayed.
Of course, we have triplets.
Yeah, so you got to watch it when you can. Catch it when you can.
We were watching some of it, and then family came over, so we recorded it, turned it off. Anyway, so Ryan got to watch it in all its glory at midnight.
I love it.
Okay, but...
Meanwhile.
Yeah, so anyway, we couldn't record yesterday either because Tuesdays are busy.
Meetings.
And then today, Luke couldn't be here, but we had to get...
Here we are.
...one to our people.
Here we are.
The people were asking for it.
This is the original cast.
So many episodes ago, like 80, we're not that far from our 100th episode.
I know. It's crazy.
We've got some plans in the works, which I will not announce in this moment.
Yeah, let's not do it.
But it's exciting to think about.
Cliffhanger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
for the 100th episode, we're good. No, we're not. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, tell us what we are going to do, Dr. Wiles.
Tell us more about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Kyle's got some ideas. So.
No.
Okay. We're in a new preaching series.
We're two into a new preaching series.
Right. I'm enjoying it. We're walking through Exodus, which is a very rich, very cool text.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Each story.
Powerful.
Absolutely. And so you have taken two stories, essentially, as I learned them and growing up, read it as two stories,
mm-hmm.
preach them side by side next
mm-hmm.
to each other. And so I want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that, it's not been you and I in here in a little while.
I know.
Just you and me in the studio.
I know.
So I thought we should just have like a Katie D-dub catch-up time.
I think so.
So how do you think I'm doing, like at a performance level?
Here's what I would say.
What's your least favorite thing about working with me?
I don't have
one. Don't do that.
I don't have one.
Yeah, you say what you're going to say.
I do not have one. Here's the thing about Katie. Katie, you always make everybody around you better. Me included.
That's so nice.
That is the truth.
Well, I think you're a very good pastor and a very nice person.
You know, look at us. Let's see, what else were we going to say?
What do we write down?
And your triplets are incredibly cute and sweet. Yeah. And
you know, we used to do this, though. It just used to be me and you.
I know. Well, this was your idea.
It was my idea.
Yeah. Tell me more. We talked about how we can't cover everything in a sermon, because we all know the music goes on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, those guys.
And so get all that out of your system. Those aren't mean music in heaven, just preaching in heaven, you know, is what I think. And so all you musician people like Addison and all these worship leaders, worship right now while you got it. You know, worship's going to come naturally in heaven, so we're not going to need any musicians, right?
Why do you think we need preaching?
Because people need to be guided on into the – you're going to continue to learn even while you're in heaven, so don't you think?
I have not really thought about it. Is that not your image of heaven? Really thought
about
it.
Being a part of hearing really good preaching?
We've talked about this in here. My image of heaven is a little bit agrarian.
Okay.
It's a little less industrialized.
More country preacher is what you're thinking.
I can't picture past just like – you know, we all have a garden that's organic and we eat from the earth.
Okay, got it.
We're not exploiting people and, you know, that kind of thing. But I have not gotten to the nature of corporate gathering.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there's going to be corporate gathering. Worship, of course. There has to be, I would think. Yeah, be incredible.
I don't know.
Even I will be able to sing in heaven.
I mean, obviously, Revelation talks about like worshiping around the throne.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Revelation has a lot of stuff in it.
So here's the problem with my singing. Like sometimes at night when I'm going to bed, I like to sing hymns, you know. I don't mean out loud, I'm talking about in my mind.
A little peaceful sleep. Yeah.
But unfortunately I can sing off key a lot. I think I'm off key. And even in my mind when I'm singing,
it's
I still hear myself singing.
Right.
Yeah. So I wish I would like hear Chris Tomlin singing in my mind, but instead I hear me.
Okay, so I'm not a very good dancer. It's one of my worst qualities.
I was going to bring that up about working with you, but I didn't want to say it. She's a really bad dancer.
Bad dancer, and I'm extremely bad at choreography.
Okay.
Like, you cannot teach me a dance and expect me to do it. It's just one of those things that my left brain and my right brain and my feet don't come together.
But in heaven.
Well, that would be interesting. No, but I was going to say, even when I close my eyes and try to picture myself dancing, I can't do it.
It's still bad.
It's kind of like that. Like, it's who I am. So, we all have weaknesses, and those are mine. So, Exodus.
Yeah, that's right. little Katie and D-Dub time brought to you by First Baptist Arlington.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
And then Luke filled in for me for maternity leave, and we realized he's quite good at this as well.
Oh, yeah.
And three
yeah.
voices adds yeah. a little bit of a
We've
dynamic.
Had a great time.
So, but for today.
Of course, this kind of goes back to Thursday Night Live. Is that what we called it?
We did during the pandemic.
Was it Thursday Night Live?
Yeah, it was Thursday Night Live.
Thursday Night Live,
And that, you're right. I mean, because it had video element.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What it didn't have is just audio element.
True.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it
wasn't
a
podcast.
Flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Kurt,
we had a good
time. It was you, Kurt, and Barry for a while.
Mm-hmm. And I said, it got better when you joined.
Then I think somebody said, we want a lady.
They actually said, we want Katie. That's what they said. We want Katie.
That's quite a compliment.
Uh-huh.
So I enjoyed that. And that ran its course. And yeah, this is kind of a new, yeah. So I always have different podcast ideas, too.
And we're getting
so
close to our 100th podcast. So for our 100th podcast, we can't talk about that yet.
No,
sorry.
No.
Sorry.
But you could tell us, email us, what do you want to see or do? Kyle has thought about and kind of hinted at, what if we did something live where people could be there?
We're not supposed to tell everybody.
It's a hint.
Okay.
We haven't decided. Okay. So that's where I'm like, let us know if that would be cool, if you would want to show up.
Ooh.
How much you would pay for a ticket.
There you go now. Speaking of tickets, last night I went online.
Did you get a ticket?
To buy a ticket to Caitlin Clark's first game
here?
She's playing in Arlington at College Park Center. Y'all know? Like the cheapest ticket I found, at least officially on the site, was $395 a person. I was trying to buy me, Cindy, and Ada.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so I just got me one. I'm just
I doubt that.
So
seriously.
We can't all go.
But I'll go for us.
I will go for us. I will appreciate it better.
Isn't that awesome? Is a normal Dallas Wings game?
$8.
No offense, but
probably.
Yeah, and can you name anyone on their team?
No, but I know Natalie Bernard works for them.
I saw a meme once, and then I want to get into the scriptures because that is the nature of this
That's
podcast.
Why we're here.
But I showed it to Ryan the other day. I guess it's a meme, but it basically says, "Would you rather find $5 or have your regional WNBA team win the championship?"
So bad.
What's your honest answer?
Well, right now, my regional WNBA team win the championship because of Caitlin Clark.
But yeah, maybe 6 months
prior
ago.
Prior to that, I would have said $5.
That's a total, Ryan.
I'm sorry.
I said, Ryan, $5. And then he said, what about the Mavericks? And I don't care anything about
the Mavericks.
I don't care anything about pro sports. It's just a thing about me. Yeah. I like college sports a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I still don't care. Like, give me $5. And Ryan was like, no, the UTA Mavericks. Because, you know, we used to have season tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I would for sure want them to win.
Of course.
I'm very invested in, or was before the triplets.
Yeah, we love them.
I would love to see our local collegiate sports teams win.
Yeah. But so Caitlin Clark's very first game as a professional, it's a preseason game against us. Here in at UTA's College Park Center.
Yeah, against the Dallas Wings.
Yeah, the Indiana Fever.
Uh-huh. And, which did you know that that was a team?
I did.
Before like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I have kind of I've watched some WNBA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
I don't mean to dog on the WNBA. We just know it has not flourished.
No, but she's a game changer. She's so good.
She is.
So, but a bunch of them are. So.
She's not my favorite. I respect her, but I was happy to see South Carolina win. That's who I wanted to win. I really liked Dawn Staley.
Yeah,
and
that's
team
a great team,
and,
South Carolina.
Yep, they're fun. So, okay, we thank you for the
speaking
time.
Of Moses.
Thank you for the time. Okay, so you have preached on this text.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions about it.
Okay.
One, it's just kind of specific. You preached on halfway through 2 and 3, which
correct.
Is I think most people listen to this sermon as well. Mm-hmm. But Moses makes a mistake. Murders an Egyptian.
In Egypt.
Yep. Then the very famous Exodus 3, which is the burning bush and the calling of Moses. So there's a fascinating little, like, it's not fascinating, it's very familiar, but the beginning of Exodus 3, where the first verse says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian.
Right.
And he led the flock, when they came to the Mount of Horeb, which also, all these have significance, but when I was listening to it, I listened to the sermon and you had read that text, priest of Midian has a flock.
Right.
So would a priest in that time have a flock for priestly purposes?
Probably.
Like, are those lambs going to be sacrificed? Or are they more, is this more like bivocational?
That's what
I'd say. This is my industry.
That's what I would say. I think that he was a shepherd and priest, and so he would have probably been rearing sheep just for him, you know, raising sheep rather just
to
for
sell
himself,
at market,
of course.
Not the market at the
Sorry, you rear children and you raise sheep. Sorry, raising sheep.
Okay.
And I think that it would have been, you know, his income, but I'm sure also there was probably a sacrificial nature to his role, and you know, he was a Midianite. And so, which is a fascinating connection with Moses, as mentioned Sunday morning.
Yeah.
We
What's
don't
the
think
Midian
about that much,
connection?
You know, but Midian was one of the children of Abraham. Abraham, later in life, after Sarah died, marries Keturah, has several boys. Midian was one of those boys. They lived in the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula, what we'd call Saudi Arabia today. And in the Midianite people, they had some vestiges of that connection with Abraham. And so Jethro, you know, who knows what all Jethro knew about Yahweh. I'm not sure about that. But it appears that he would have been a monotheist. He had this idea that there was a God.
Mm-hmm.
And you find him to be a very wise man before this thing's over with. What's fascinating about Moses at this point in his life, if you look at 40 years in Egypt, we believe, another 40 years in Midian, and he doesn't have, in all appearances at least, it doesn't say he's tending his own flock. It doesn't say that he's doing his own work. He's saying he's still working for his father-in-law, which I find to be a little fascinating. but regardless.
Because you think, I think normally, but in that era, most people, it would probably be eventually
probably.
Moses was tending his flock.
Probably. But, and what's fascinating about that connection too, the Midianites, they were a part of that caravan connected with the Ishmaelites, all descendants of Abraham, who actually bought Joseph. And delivered Joseph to as a slave to Egypt. And so now here all these years later is Moses going to the Midianites for refuge to escape the punishment or even perhaps slavery in Egypt. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a interesting juxtaposition with the story of Joseph, you know. And and just the whole thing with Moses and Joseph. Moses, you know, Joseph shows up in Egypt as a slave and has to prove himself at every turn. And eventually does that. You know, he'll convince Potiphar and the jailer first and then Potiphar. Mm-hmm. I mean, Potiphar first, then the jailer, and then eventually Pharaoh that he's worthy of being trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Moses will be born with that. You know, Moses is born into the court of Pharaoh.
And then, he doesn't work his way into it.
He doesn't have to. He's a prince. Mm-hmm. And but then he'll lose it, and then he's got to re-earn it with the Jews and the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. So their stories are kind of flipped, if you will. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Ryan has been listening to The Prince of Egypt soundtrack.
Yeah.
He says it's very well done.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Okay. The theology in the lyrics is very thoughtful.
Yeah.
That's his take on that.
Yeah.
So,
which I agree.
Speaking
I
of all of this.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Prince of Egypt much in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. We'll bring it into light now that we're in Exodus.
We've talked Ten Commandments.
I know. We've done more.
Yeah. The Testament, this new documentary on
which
Moses.
Which I haven't, have not seen yet. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. We're halfway through episode two, I guess it's what it's called.
Okay. It's always fascinating when people try
to
do a modern interpretation.
Particularly Moses. I mean.
It's Moses.
You got Abraham, Moses, those two men, almost incomparable in the rest of the Old Testament, if you think about it, because even today, Jews and Muslims and Christians all revere Moses, you know, and Abraham. Mm-hmm. And so these two men are standalone kind of men, you know. So I always love to talk about Moses. It's one of my famous gaffes as a preacher, and I did it in two different churches, and Cindy just thinks it's hilarious.
Mm. Tell us everything.
I've preached on this passage before, obviously, you know, take the sandals off your feet. Mm-hmm. And so in two different churches, preaching the sermon on Moses, in both of those churches through the whole sermon, I said God told Moses to remove his feet because he was standing on holy ground. And I didn't just say it one time. I just,
two you know, different sermons?
Yeah, in two different churches preaching on the same text. I did it both times. And
you said it over and over.
Oh, yeah, emphatically. Moses, remove your feet. The place you're standing is holy ground. And Cindy said in both of those sermons, she's trying to get my attention. She's shaking her head.
Yeah.
She's looking at, you know, pointing at her shoes. And I never got it. I did the whole, both of them whole all the way through. So Sunday morning.
What is that?
This past Sunday morning when I was reading it, I almost stopped and just started laughing because I thought, okay, I'm going to say sandals. I'm not going to say feet, but I didn't say anything.
You're going to stare at Cindy.
I didn't even want to get it in my head. I tried to get past it really quickly.
Now, does that come from anything? Because the Hebrew weird? Anything that would help justify?
I don't know what happened to me. I just got going and couldn't stop.
Yeah, well.
Happens to me sometimes.
We do know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But,
I
just think, but Jethro.
Okay, tell us what you look.
Jethro is ultimately going to play a role in Moses' life. Once Moses begins his journey of having to oversee the people, Jethro's going to come and visit his family, you know, his daughter and grandkids.
Yeah.
And he's basically going to tell Moses, you can't keep doing what you're doing. It's just not sustainable. You need to bring in a staff of people who can actually help you judge these people and kind of, you know, take some of these responsibilities and share them with people that you trust. Mm-hmm. And that was really beneficial to Moses. So Jethro's a pretty cool dude, man.
Yeah.
And in fact, in this documentary, this new in the Testament, he's portrayed that way as a really good guy.
As he should be.
Just
not
a good guy. Yeah. I really like the way they portrayed him.
Okay.
You know,
I might skip that a look.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay. So Exodus 2.
Yeah.
Your interpretation when you preached on Sunday, Moses did things his way.
That's right. Took it in his own hands. Hence the title of the sermon, Your Way or Yahweh.
It's a pretty good title. You got any feedback on the title?
Yeah.
The title alone?
Different people who told me they liked it.
Okay, good.
Addison told me today she liked it.
So yeah, hey. And she's a Gen Zer.
She's right.
So it must be cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And you really took, I mean, a lot of application on this one about just how we all tend to be very human in doing things our own way.
Correct.
Is that fair? Is that a fair
it
representation?
It is. Okay. And the, part of the reason behind it is I really wrestled with this sermon series as I was praying and working through it because on the one hand, the story is so powerful, so pivotal in the theological development of Israel and their theology, Old Testament theology, also messianic imagery.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like, okay, if I'm going to preach on Exodus, and it's really a part of an overall plan for this entire year because what I'm doing over the course of this year is I'm preaching a series on Sunday mornings out of every section of the Bible. And so
and we talked about that in here, the sections, the
genres.
Right.
You know, the book of the law, books of the law, the wisdom material, we're going to get to Gospels and Acts and all that, letters, prophetic material, those kind of
sections. So when you went away in July,
yes.
I say went away, when you planned in July.
That's right. So I marked out the year and said, I want to cover the gamut of biblical literature and also exercise the voices of a prophetic voice or an apostolic voice in my preaching. Well, I really struggled with this series because there was a part of me that felt like I need to just preach the Exodus story. I just need to make sure that our people grasp the gravity of this story. But as I prayed through it, I also kept feeling compelled to take some lessons from Exodus and just plant them in our real everyday lives.
Just practical.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little very different
how
approach
to
preaching
life.
It. Operating on the assumption that you know the narrative, you know, as a Christian already. So that's where I landed.
Tricky,
that's why.
Tricky balance.
That's why I did this way to. I want to take some of the material in Exodus and put it into 2024 and learn lessons for us. And so to me, this is a profound lesson. You read Exodus 2. Moses he carries himself as an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. He's wearing the clothes of an Egyptian, speaks the language of the Egyptians. So if he's walking down the street or anywhere among the Hebrew slaves, they do not see him as one of them because he's not. He's an Egyptian prince. And I'm sure he's dressed that way. So contrast whatever you think an Egyptian prince would wear with what a Hebrew slave would wear who's making bricks or working or doing whatever. He's also in contrast to the Egyptian slave masters because he's not working like that for a living. He's not out sweating with a whip in his hand and probably having to answer to a higher up about quotas and all that thing, all that kind of thing. They were held accountable. He's just strolling. He's a prince. And so, and everybody that would have seen him that day would have seen him as an Egyptian. But there was something deep inside of Moses that beyond the veneer of his Egyptianness, he was a Hebrew. His mother nursed him. His sister Miriam was with him as a little boy. We have no idea how long that went on, what stories he was told. And even the Egyptian princess who adopted him, whether or not she was honest with him along the way to let him know that's really who he was. But we know that by this time he knew it. And so there he is walking down the street or wherever he was, and something inside of him just spoke to that Hebrew identity, and he just rails against this Egyptian master. And him being a prince, I mean, he's in authority.
Right.
And he takes this guy and then goes to the nth degree and kills him.
Yeah. He didn't just
He didn't just stop it.
Right.
He exacts revenge and then buries his body. And so to me, And the writer of Hebrews says this, that Stephen says this rather in his sermon in Acts 7. He was acting as a rescuer. He's rescuing. So then the next day, you know, you see these two Hebrew men fighting. And again, he's an Egyptian. They do not look at him and say, man, he's one of us. Mm-hmm. Well, no, he is an Egyptian. And so when he intervenes with them, they're looking at him saying, why are you doing this? Why would you even care about us? Mm-hmm. And we're scared of you because you could kill us, and what's anybody going to do to you? And so you're going to kill one of us like you did the Egyptian, and then Moses is like, uh-oh, you know? And then for whatever reason, when the word gets back to Pharaoh, who knows, Pharaoh decides he's going to exact revenge on Moses. Well, now Moses is out. So taking things in your own hands, relying on your own perspective, you know, the idea that I think, as I said Sunday morning, many of us believe we just reserve the right to think what we want to think, feel what we want to feel, say what we want to say, do what we want to do.
Freedom.
And it doesn't matter what the truth is. Even if you don't have the perspective, you still can somehow justify it. And you can carry anger and bitterness and hurt based upon a limited perspective that could be incredibly faulty to begin with. And yet you can just nurse it and build on it. And it becomes your reality. And we just reserve the right to do that and just do it our way. And we do that in our families, as I said Sunday morning. We do that in our marriages. We do that in our churches. We do it in our office place. Well, think about
The prevailing force today is this individualism.
That's right. And we live in a world that applauds it, affirms it. You know, be selfish. Take care of yourself, protect yourself. Nobody's going to look after you if you don't look after yourself and pick up your own calls and, you know, flex your own muscles and mark out your territory and send a message and, you know, be as selfish as you have to be. Well, I live in a world that applauds that. And it's I just think that as a Christian, you're just going to have to swim upstream in that, in that setting, in that cultural setting that we're in. And so that's why I tried to say Sunday morning, my culture affirms and applauds so much of what the Bible condemns and calls us to forsake as Christians. But as I said Sunday morning, I really don't believe it's because we're evil. I don't believe that. I just think we're human. And in our humanness, we just struggle. Mm. We struggle with what comes naturally to us. And so here I am facing the same dilemma. Now, granted, murdering someone is beyond the pale. So let's go ahead and say that. Okay.
Right. That might be evil.
Yeah, I would say you're off the chart. But think about how destructive you can be, though. Mm-hmm. Harboring an ill-formed opinion, mm-hmm. and then becoming the evangelist of that ill-formed opinion, and then building alliances with an ill-formed opinion, and developing a constituency with an ill-formed opinion. You can cause quite a bit of destruction. Mm-hmm. You can confuse the issue. You mm-hmm. can, you can really be detrimental to many things that are good. And think mm-hmm. about how many things have been ruined by that. And then to be confronted with reality and truth. Well, sometimes you've convinced yourself
of what the truth is, even if it's not true.
Even if it's not the truth. You've convinced yourself of it, yes.
Right.
And then
yeah.
there it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you got people all around you that will applaud it and bless it and join in. And man, you can get really affirmed in your brokenness and in your humanness and feel justified. Mm. And that's kind of what I was trying to point out Sunday, mm-hmm. to just say, okay, mm-hmm. it's easier to do that than to be Christian.
Yeah, because being Christian involves... Well, I never want to juxtapose. I mean, to be human, to be yeah. Christian is to be human
it
in its fullest form.
In its fullest
right,
form.
Right,
that's
right.
right.
But not what you're talking about,
not
which is this
brokenness.
Almost shell of humanity.
That's right.
right.
It's just the broken side of humanity.
Because it takes the daily grind, the daily discipline mm-hmm. of abiding in God's presence
that's
and becoming
right.
more like mm-hmm. Him, which is harder to
it
do
is,
in every
which
form.
Which is, that's the glory yeah. of God. God, Isaiah 43:7, my people whom I've created for my own glory and I've formed and shaped them. Well, there's mm-hmm. the image and the glory of God.
Yeah.
That's
and y'all talked about glory last week.
That's right. That's who we're supposed to be.
By the way, good job last week.
Yeah. Thank you. So think about, okay, if that's supposed to be on display in me, I need to take that seriously. I mean, mm-hmm. that's my assignment.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, that you might figure out how to display
that's
right. His glory.
So can you imagine if you filled a world full of Christians.
Mm-hmm, I'm thinking about it.
Fill a world full of Christians mm-hmm. who truly were compassionate and slow to anger and maintained love
yeah.
and were faithful
yeah.
and would learn how to forgive and still hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
If they could live at that perfect yeah. intersection of grace mm-hmm. and justice like
mm-hmm.
Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
what a world we would have.
Now, do they gather for corporate worship?
Yeah.
Because this is the kingdom of God you're describing.
I think they gather for preaching.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Worship through the proclamation of the Bible.
That's right.
But, which we still have as a governing document.
In heaven.
In heaven is what we just decided. Okay.
But yeah, I just look at that and I think, how different would my world be? What if every kid showed up at school in Arlington
mm-hmm.
from that home
tomorrow
morning? Yeah. I mean, think about what a difference. Man, the world is so broken. It's so quick to anger. We're not slow to anger. I mean, quick, man. Just turn on a dime. Can pull the trigger without even thinking about it, in emotionally and in just detrimental ways. That's just my way. That's the way of the world. And I just feel like the reason I love these two stories is because I almost feel like you get to the burning bush and it's like God looks at Moses and says, you tried it your way.
Mm.
Now let's do it my way.
Yeah. So as a reminder to the listeners, these two stories are next to each other in the
yeah,
Bible.
They are.
But you think, based on scholarly work, that it's probably about 40 years between the two.
Yeah, generation apart.
But they're next to each other.
They are.
And so you think maybe even
page two, page three.
Whoever puts them together, which I mean, the author might be Moses,
right.
but whoever is binding this for us puts them next to each other for us to notice that.
I think to highlight it.
And to
highlight
it. Okay. So.
That's what I would say.
And so you're saying
Yahweh's
right.
way.
So then you turn the page and you've got the call of Moses,
that's
this
right.
burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
Take off your feet. You're on holy ground.
That's right.
And you look at those together.
Yes.
And often there are a lot of biblical texts, which when you look at them next to each other, you think, whoa, there's really something to be
that's
learned
right.
here.
Exactly.
Some with the disciples. That,
yes.
Yeah. But
I mean, think about Yahweh's way. It's almost like, to me, the Lord looks at Moses some 40 years later and says, you intervened and you were going to save one Hebrew slave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save all of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you were going to rid the wrath of one Egyptian master. I'm going to get rid of all Egyptian masters for my mm-hmm. people. You know, you were going to intervene in one argument. I'm going to give you an ethic and a code of conduct that'll help resolve all arguments
mm-hmm.
for all
for everybody.
Hebrews, for yeah. everybody, even beyond mm-hmm. the Hebrew family.
Mm-hmm.
His ways are just just so much more holistic and effective than our ways. And not only that, I feel like the Lord was saying, I'm going to deliver these people, but I'm going to do it in my way. And in so doing, I'm going to undo this Egyptian worldview. I'm going to conquer their gods and goddesses, and I'm going to create a people who has the real and one and only true God and give them a whole different worldview and different perspective, different ethical code and demand. And through them, I'm going to bless the whole world. Now that's what's going on here. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to redeem them and I'm going to change history. You were doing something in your own power and your own strength. It was so limited and so narrow and you did it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it basically the only thing it accomplished was to lose a life, jeopardize your relationship with the Jews that you'd already met, and then fall out of favor with the position of power and influence that you had for who knows, maybe I put you there to begin with for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you lost that,
yeah.
you know? So, it can be detrimental to go your own way. But God's grace
is
greater than our sin.
So what do you say?
He redeems Moses, rescues him, mm-hmm. and gives them that opportunity to be back in the fold. And even though Moses has a hard time with it, he mm-hmm. ends up doing it. And man.
So to our friends that are listening who are realizing, maybe have already realized, that they have gone their own way.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit more like Exodus 2 Moses than mm-hmm. Exodus 3 Moses.
Right.
What do you say to them?
I say, well, first of all, acknowledge it to me, admit it, and become a little more self-aware that that's real. That's mm-hmm. really who you mm-hmm. are and how you've been operating.
Name it.
Yeah, and confess it.
And it may involve some work of reconciliation, depending on...
To undo some things.
Right.
You know,
who you've harmed along the way.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I've carried this, or I've nursed this, or I've promoted this.
Yeah.
Okay. Then mm-hmm. the good news is the forgiveness of God. It's like times of refreshing, the Bible says. Let that wash over you, and then learn the lesson. You know, learn the lesson to seek to connect your way to God's way. We're always going to struggle with it. We're always going to, my goodness, you know, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
But if I keep learning and keep growing in my understanding of it, hopefully what happens to me is my behavior changes commensurately.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flip side of that is the positive impact that you have as opposed to the detrimental impact that mm-hmm. you were having.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start seeing the beauty of things. And the Bible says that, you know, Jesus said the truth will make you free. Well, that's just true. You live into truth
mm-hmm.
and it creates the right kind of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, the right kind of freedom is the freedom you have to serve God,
mm-hmm.
to live in a relationship with Him. That's exactly what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh. He didn't just say, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go so they can just go be whoever they want to be. Well,
mm-hmm.
no, that's not freedom. He said, so they may worship me and serve me. That's real freedom,
mm-hmm.
is to live more fully into the humanness God designed for mm-hmm. us. That would be real freedom. And I think we all struggle with this. I know I do. And I had a lot of feedback from the sermon Sunday morning where people said, you know, this is, I have this struggle,
yeah.
you know, and I'm trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so natural to be vengeful and greedy. And like I said, just completely self-centered, you know, you just put yourself in the middle of everything. And, it's a way to live,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a way that will, if you need it, it'll be affirmed and blessed because mm-hmm. there'll be plenty of people who will love it and join you in it.
Mm.
But by the same token, if you choose the other path, there are plenty of people who are going to affirm that and bless that,
mm-hmm.
fellow believers. We
mm-hmm.
want to live that way.
Yeah.
We want you to live that way. We're mm-hmm. trying to live that way. So mm-hmm. get in community is another thing I'd say. Get in community with other people who are
mm-hmm.
trying to do this.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good word that we do live in a society in an age where you can probably do whatever you want mm-hmm. and find some group of people that's going to say it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can very well lead to your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so who you surround yourself with,
mm-hmm.
just the discernment
mm-hmm.
and the wisdom of who you're going to let be the most influential people in your life.
That's right.
And who you're really going to listen to,
mm-hmm.
even down to, let's name it, like what news cycle you just have playing in mm-hmm. the background, if you even need one on in the background. Just the voices and the influence. we have to be very mm-hmm. wise right now mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. what we're taking mm-hmm. in.
Yes, because, you know, Henry Nouwen used to say something. I'm going to paraphrase. He used to say, he's a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. He's dead now. Mm-hmm. Everybody has this inner room. That's kind of what he called it. And he said, in that inner room, there's intentionally placed furniture and furnishings. And we all have the option to, first of all, decorate that inner room. And then we reserve the right to who invite into it mm-hmm. that would feel welcome in it. Mm-hmm. I think about that a lot. Mm-hmm. We've got this inner room, this deep part of us that we decorate ourselves. And then who do we invite into that? Yeah. You know, who do we welcome in?
We need to be almost cunning, yeah. Super thoughtful.
We do. That's
about
Psalm 1.
Who is in there.
Yeah. No, yeah. Not the mockers, not the sinners, not the rebellious, mm-hmm. not the wicked. Mm-hmm. No, that's not who's in the inner room. Mm-hmm. And so that's, to me, the beauty of the church. You know, get in a community. That's another thing I'd say about when you're living a selfish life, mm-hmm. first of all, stop it.
If you realize you're living your way and not Yahweh's way.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah,
step one.
And find
Quit
some
it.
Of Yahweh's people who are really trying to do this and get
mm-hmm.
in community with them and pray with them and talk honestly with them and let them join you in this journey. Because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, churches like ours and many others are filled with people who are trying to do just that. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get it right and they're trying to figure it out. And man, it's sure helpful. Just like you're applauded and affirmed in the wrong direction, you can be applauded and affirmed in the right direction. And it's just as powerful, mm-hmm. you know, and can promote good behavior. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I hope for. And and that's why, you know, I haven't talked a whole lot about Ephesians in the last little bit. It's still the undercurrent for me for this year. Mm-hmm. But when I'm reading Ephesians, that to me is what Ephesians is all about. It's about Paul painting for us a picture of what the church could really be like. Mm-hmm. This is how it can really
look. We can actually
achieve
yes, it.
This right here mm-hmm. is what it could be like. Mm-hmm. And so I would even point you to Ephesians 4 if you're trying to climb out of that selfish pit, so to speak. Look at Ephesians 4 and hear an admonition from Scripture about how to do this in community with other believers. So,
boom. Okay, one last thing.
Okay.
Might I? Sunday, it was a big Sunday at our
church.
It
was a big Sunday.
We voted and called a new contemporary worship minister.
That is correct.
I assume most people that are listening here are in on that, but if not, you want to tell us a little about him? What do we need to know?
Yeah, we're going to, here's what we're going to do.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about him, not give his name just yet. We'll wait till Sunday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And I'm glad I didn't say that because that was not on my radar.
But
because he is needing to go back and in the right way tell his church.
But here's what I would say about him in particular. When we were looking, we were looking for a certain talent level, which obviously is a given if you're going to lead worship and music. But we're mm-hmm. also looking for a type of person who had an air of humility about them, who had a deep appreciation for the church, and who didn't necessarily think that they were the only thing going, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. they realized they were going to be a part of a community of a more complex entity than they themselves would be individually leading, mm-hmm. and just have that spirit about them of appreciation and depth and kind of a welcoming, just persona. Boom. That's what we found with this young man. Mm-hmm. And next week we'll broadcast his name.
Yep. And this Sunday, we're going to say thank you to Joey.
We are.
Honor him and his
Absolutely.
Family. Pray for them as they go.
Yes.
Thank him for leading us.
Very humble.
For a whole
humble,
year.
Sweet young man
mm-hmm.
and family. And and the church is just, this is just a sweet church. The church loves people who minister to them and care for them. That's who these people are at this place. And mm-hmm. I love that about our church. And we care for each other. And we don't always get it right, but it's not for lack of trying mostly.
Mostly. Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
I would agree. The heart's there. The heart's
right.
there.
The heart is there.
So, good. Yep. Okay, well, we survived one week without Luke.
We did.
But let's not make it too many.
No, we need to bring Luke back.
Okay, deal.
But it was fun with you today.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
I would just say, your way or Yahweh, let's go with Yahweh.
Amen. See you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the Tell Me More podcast today. You can subscribe to this podcast on your app of choice, or you can visit us at fbca.org to find out more information about the podcast and our church. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.